Welcome to the King's Road podcast. I am your host, the Aries Justin Yachts, and I'm here with
Bash.
And we're talking Double or Nothing, AEW. And I just got to say right off the bat, I know some people didn't like this show as much as the other ones, but I just thought this was a great show. One, I thought this was kind of the celebration of AEW for 4 years.
So who didn't like this show? Because I loved this show.
A lot of people didn't like this show.
The only thing, I mean, for me, we were talking throughout the show. The only thing that was hard for me was it was a 5-hour show. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm a great wrestling fan, but it's also once it gets to midnight and I'm hitting the main event, I'm kind of like,
here's the thing. If it was WWE and it was like that lame, like when they did their, you know, the WrestleMania you went to 35, where they went like 9 hours.
Yeah, that was
people sitting in their seats for nine. And then it rained right after that. And no, they left everybody.
It was a good show. It was captivating. The matches were, the work overall was good. I have my standouts, which we'll talk about, but, I even said to you, I was like, we had this bet that New Japan was going to show up. Like New Japan was going to have to show up to at least start something. Right. And nobody showed up and you're like, yeah, it's because it was a celebration of everything.
I think it needed a bit because I mean, for them to be, I mean, I think that's the biggest building they've ever really run. I mean, the Grand Slam is bigger, but this was, I mean, this is the building that the UFC run.
Yeah.
This is that, like when I look at, and I looked around and it just feels major league. There's something about that building that just is like, they haven't had that. Like the Grand Slam was pretty major league. And I think, you know, the next one, Forbidden Door, that's going to be in the big building, the Chicago Bulls building.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll look, I think that's the key to their success is to continue running bigger buildings like that and having that major league look.
And we were just talking about this, but I think it's next week. It's gotta be next week that they're in Detroit and that's at the Little Caesars Arena, which is a major, major sports arena. That's like, Detroit's main arena. So like they're hitting the marks. Yeah. I did not like, however, yes, it looked major, but I did not like during the anarchy in the arena asylum, whatever, how they that they brawled to the seats that were tarped off. Like, I get it.
Those seats were tarped off because it's
camera
because of the camera.
I know, but still,
that's pretty much any, you know, that to me it's not like they went up and then we just like an entire
floor, an entire session, you know,
like just... WWE would do. WWE couldn't do this because it would be like, wait a minute, this isn't sold out at all.
Exactly.
And I love that Tony Khan made that comment about him. It's like, oh yeah, you guys, you went from 17,000 to a building that seats 13,000. I mean, Money in the Bank, I know we're, you know, but I just want to say that feels so not important at all. And the fact that they're not even going to bring in Brock or Lesnar, and I'm like, it's main. It's who cares?
Until he comes in and...
Yeah, maybe he's a surprise, but that's not what people. Here's the thing that AEW is starting to feel like. They're starting to kind of feel like the UFC, and like all their shows are major league. Like they're just like all of them are good, as opposed to like some are going to be better than others, but it's like none of them are like a chore to sit through.
Right.
You're sitting there and you're watching these. It just feels
like even Rampage. on Friday nights, it's just an hour. It's an hour show, right? Like, it feels like it could be a 2 hour show, but it's an hour show and they're still packing it with some good shit.
And I thought that Rampage that they did the last, you know, the one with that was filled with everything. That was a great show.
Like, and didn't we have like Brian Danielson on the last Rampage show? So like,
they did Brian Danielson against, I was going to call him Evan Bourne, but Matt Sydal.
Matt Sydal. Yeah. And that was a great match.
Yeah.
They're just putting together. It's just good.
At first I was going to say it reminded me of TNA in 05 when they were like really putting on the good shows. But now I feel like they're starting to feel like UFC where it's like every show is bigger than that. Like they're trying to top each, like as opposed to what WWE does, which is like, well, it's Mania. So
build to get to Mania. Like for me, it never really start getting excited until Royal Rumble with WWE. And then
everything else feels passable.
And then it just goes boom down.
And you can go back even to the Attitude Era. I mean, other than like in 2000, for all the pay-per-views in like 2000, they kind of felt major league. Like that was probably their peak of like really delivering on pay-per-views. But ever since then, they've gone into that. They've gone back to that, like, well, this is a throwaway show.
Yeah.
Who cares? Whereas none of their pay-per-views are starting to feel like even if a title change doesn't happen, it feels like something happens.
Right.
And they're giving you a quality product. So, all right. So let's get into this. The first match, everybody's wondering, was he going to be there? He shows up, MJF, and he played it up. Awesome. Like he, you know, everybody in that arena wanted to see him get his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Then Wardlow come. They cut to like Wardlow in the back. He comes out to no music. I hope this means he's getting new music because he needs something better than that shit. Than a song that just says, "This is Wardlow." I'm like, it's like that. What's her name? Rhea Ripley's song. "This is my brutality," and then. When you saw the live performance, you realize, wait, that's all they're really saying is this is my brutality. Like he needs something that like he needs like a Pantera song, something it would be actually kind of be cool, but it wouldn't work. But the song that Mike Awesome had in ECW when he would come out, that sound, that like he needs, or Taz, he needs something that like, when you hear that song, you go, shit's about it. I can't get into it with, this is what, it doesn't sound like, it sounds like a preliminary guy showing up to like do some jobber matches. I'm like, he's past that now. Like the next, all right, let's talk about this match. This is perfect. Yeah. It reminded me of Owens and Goldberg, except so much better, because it was just, and how many power bombs did he do to him? It was 10. I wish he kind of went like this to him and went,
yeah,
because he threw that thing in there. I mean, it was just, they really planted the seed for this when he had that match with Punk and Wardlow, like almost looked like he was going to beat Punk. Mm-hmm. And that kind of that was like really where I started to see like Wardlow as like, okay, he's more than just this enhancement guy.
I'm gonna be very interested to see where they go with like who's not to borrow a phrase, but like who's next. So now what?
Here's what I would do: have him kill Scorpio Sky, and give him that. TNT title and let him run with that a little bit and then move him on to the main bout. I think that's what they should do. If it's a good place for him to do, let him have the thing where he just kills guys and you just, or lead him to, I mean, the way Punk beat him, this is what I like about Punk. He's left the door open for the rematch of whether he could do it, but I don't think he's ready for the world title yet. Let that build. So no. I would give him, I would say next year.
Yeah.
Let's see where he's at.
Because I mean, everything that we have coming up with AEW, it doesn't, like, Wardlow doesn't factor into the main picture. In my opinion.
So I would just have him take the TNT title, let him run with it, let him just kill guys.
Actually, here's what I would like to see at Forbidden Door. Wardlow versus Jeff Cobb.
That would be a good match. Or Ishii, maybe. Ishii would give him a good match, but yeah. I think you should give him to somebody really good.
My thing with Jeff Cobb, though, is that he's also a big guy. He's a hoss. He's a powerhouse, but he can also, like, he does the standing shooting star press. Like, and Wardlow is a big guy. He's a hoss, but he can freaking.
And I think he would learn a lot working with a Jeff Cobb, like you said. But it looks like Jeff Cobb, you know, because they attacked the tag team. It looks like he's.
Yeah.
But I agree. That's a good guy. Maybe Ishii would be the good guy, the guy to go with, because Ishii can take the loss, but he can give him that amazing match. But also, Ishii is also a guy that you can have like that amazing match with. So do you want to waste him on like, I don't know. I don't know if you need Wardlow on the Forbidden Door thing, unless, like you said, he's going to face like a Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
I would kind of keep him up, but I would have him win the TNT title and then have built him to Rusev coming back or Miro.
Yeah.
Like, he would be a good feud for him to have. Like, a nice preliminary feud. I mean, he's got to be coming back soon.
Yeah.
That's a guy for him to run through, but, like, he doesn't have to, like, just kill him. He can have, like, because I think Wardlow's a guy that can have more of a match than just, I don't think he's just like Goldberg, where he can only have.
Yeah, like a Goldberg or a Lesnar, where he can
wash matches.
Yeah.
I think he can have more of them. And I think, I keep calling him Rusev. Miro would be good. I think when Miro comes back, he needs to come back with Lana.
Yeah.
Have Lana come back.
100%.
She doesn't need to do the Russian accent, but she should do like the intro of him.
She's also making like $50,000 a day doing, it's not OnlyFans.
To the shock of nobody.
Like, not only fan,
he was making tons of money from that Bang Energy drink. Remember, that was the big thing. WWE was telling them they can't do the energy drink, and it's like, why? Just because you're just a greedy assholes. But anyways, I thought this was perfect. It set up Wardlow. He needs new music. The fans are really behind him, and it was the best way to start that show. And the fans wanted to see him kill MJF, and they put him on. I thought maybe he was gonna do the thing where, like, he wheels him back, and, you know, like Vince McMahon at St. Valentine's Massacre. He's like, no, I'm gonna kill him a couple more times, you know, or Cactus Jack when after the street fight where he just wheels Helmsley back and say, he should have given him like another 10. But no, they got the point across, and I thought that was a great start to the show. Oh, wait. We're forgetting one thing. Let's go back to the buy-in. Hookhausen versus Matt Sterling and
Smart Mark Sterling and
Who's the other guy? Oh, Tony Nese.
Yeah.
This was perfect. We got to see Danhausen do a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And they're playing into the whole rock and sock connection type thing. And it's a good, it worked. Fans like it. It's,
you know,
I think if
on a personal level, this was the first time that I actually kind of looked at Hook and I'm like, you know what? You are an attractive man. Cause they always talk about him being like what are they calling him?
The hook, or whatever they send in, the hook,
but there's also something that they they're referring to about how handsome he is or whatever. But yeah, it was...
at least they are like going with it, whereas WWE like, no, you're not handsome. Stop that. Stop being handsome. We didn't like it because we didn't come up with it. It's like, I like that they go with that. Also, Taz is gonna be so happy.
Oh God, yeah.
His son, because like before he's just like a guy in the background, and now he's more over than like Hobbs or anybody in Team Taz.
Yeah,
like he's like completely. It's great because this is what I love about AEW. You see guys that they're building up, and they're not chopping off their balls. Yep. They're letting them get over, and they're getting over on their own. And you heard Punk talk about, we'll talk about that in a bit. All right. So the next match, the Hardy brothers. Why? Okay. So
they're just
they not call them the Hardy boys anymore? Is that trademarked?
Might be trademarked, but also are you supposed to?
Well, they're not really boys anymore.
I was going to say that. I thought about that when I saw their banner go through, their nameplate go through. I was like, the Hardys.
So they are just the Hardys now.
They're the
Hardys. It's not, because I heard the announcers calling them the Hardy brothers.
On the nameplate, it just said the Hardys. So
I like the Hardys sounds much better. Hardy brothers sounds, it sounds too WWE-ish.
It sounds like
something they would come up with, you know. The like Hardy Brothers.
One should be dressed in red and the other one should be dressed in green.
The vigilante. No. They're going to be the Hardy Boys, but based off of the Hardy Boys, the novels.
God. No. Nope.
Yeah, I remember when they called Sting, he's the vigilante. That was so stupid. The vigilante. Because Vince didn't like the franchise. And I'm like, we can't just call him the Stinger.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you want to listen to an announcer who has like no idea who somebody is, listen to Michael Cole when Sting comes out. It's like, he doesn't know. He's like, it's Stinger, Sting, you know, like, even JBL is like the franchise, you know, like you knew he knew what he was. They actually gave him a good intro, but then they killed it. Yeah. Enough said about that. So it's the Hardys versus the Young Bucks. Young Bucks gave him a good match, but Jeff looks to be in a lot of pain.
This was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Except for the Hardys won, which did... What did we say? I'm looking at our picks. We both said that the Young Bucks were going to win.
Yeah, we did. And we were
both wrong. I had a moment during this where I was like,
did they take the Meltzer driver? I don't think they did.
No, they didn't.
I think they can.
There was a moment that I was having here where I was like, am I watching Sting versus Jeff Hardy? Like, am I watching? There was just something. I don't like his face paint because I can't tell if his eyes are fucked up or if
at Victory Road where he just came out and they knew about it all day that he was going to be hurt. I remember buying that pay-per-view and watching that and being like,
yeah,
this is what you can't like send out Samoa Joe to do another match with Sting or something. Instead, they just went off don't get me started on that. He does kind of look like that at times.
He still had the gumption, the craziness, the whatever you want to call it, to bust out a swanton.
Yeah, why did he do a swanton on the stage? I mean, now apparently he's hurt. So I mean, as I said, I told you, I said he's not gonna be happy till he's Hayabusa, and he just breaks his neck in the ring, which is just, I don't know. I thought the Bucks did a good job though, getting something out of them. But I guess we're gonna get a return match. Is the Bucks gotta eventually beat them? But. Yeah. I guess if this is where they go. So there we go. That was that. Then comes the match. I like the entrance of Jade Cargill with the You know, she feels major league, and I see her getting better, but this was horrible, man. I didn't like this.
Yeah, it wasn't clean. I don't think, and it showed.
Anna Jay is back to like dressing like the Zatanna from Batman thing, which okay. I like.
But her nameplate still says the Dark Order is Anna Jay, and she's still doing the claw.
Well, I think she'll always do this. Stupid claw. Well, the claw thing is a tribute to Brody, but
yeah.
The Dark Order thing is, or as I like to call them in Jim Cornette, the Dork Order, because they are. We had John Silver, yeah.
Who was hungy.
To me, he comes off like Marco Stunt. I'm like, I don't need him on my TV. Not as bad, but. He just comes off as a cartoon. He comes off as the opposite of what I see AEW to. Like when you see John Silver, he's somebody that you're like, really? You know?
Yeah. I will agree with you. I think that Jade Cargill, like I will be 100% completely honest. A lot of times when I see her match, it's like a bathroom break or it's a fast forward or it's a, I already know that she's going to win. I don't really see much different. This is the first time that I actually like really paid attention to her. She looks like a badass. Like yeah. She's straight up.
They've given her that Tyson-esque feel to her. Yeah.
And then we get Stokely Hathaway.
The match sucked, but I liked Malcolm Bivens. That sounds so much better to say, but they gave us at least something afterwards so I guess is Mark Sterling gone? I guess he kind of reminded me of Clarence Mason there with the thing there.
He's always reminded me of Clarence Mason though. Yeah. He's a Clarence Mason cosplayer. And then we got Athena.
Throwing that to bring a Clarence Mason. I always liked the original Nation of Domination when they had like this army of people coming out. Mm-hmm. But then that, as usual in WWE faction, they got away from that and he just became Farouk. And I'm like, you took away the pomp. It's the only thing he had.
Yep.
But anyways, enough said. Yeah. Then we had, debuting. We had Athena coming out. So is Athena the girl to beat Jay Cargill? I don't think they should beat Jay Cargill with that.
No, I think Athena.
Who should beat Jay Cargill?
Nobody right now.
That's kind of how I feel.
Like, there's let her build. Like, let her run through the women's roster is so deep and underutilized in AEW right now. So like,
Let's hope for Sasha. She would so help that roster. If Tessa wasn't such a moron, should have been there. She would have been there. She would have been great. But she's impossible to work with.
I'm excited to see what they will let Athena do.
Athena was really good in NXT.
Great in NXT. And even pre-NXT on the independents when you watch her stuff.
They never gave her the win over Asuka when she was like debut. I mean, that was
plus she's got
they didn't do anything.
The coolest finishers.
That stunner. That was cool.
It's so cool the way that it looks. It just looks devastating.
Should she come out with still have the werewolf kind of thing that she was doing? Should she go back to that a little bit with Athena character?
Lord, I mean, she's being called the fallen goddess right now. And she came out with no face paint, no crazy contacts, no like.
But I think that kind of added to her. It gave her a little bit extra something. And they could, they could do it in a way that's not lame, but I'm glad to have her because they need more women workers there.
Yeah.
I would, as I said before, if I could have anything, I would say take Bailey and take Sasha. And I think that would have somebody, they would have enough people to be. And if Tessa was normal, I'd bring Tessa and then you'd have three. I mean,
Yeah.
Andrade married Andrade married Charlotte. I mean, maybe that could happen, but she's way too much of a top guy there. Yeah. She'd be an idiot to leave there.
Right.
She would be really
right
fucking stupid to live there. I'm sorry. Right. I mean, I'd like to see her booked better, but
yeah,
she's making top guy money and she's treated like a star. Stay there. So anyways, we got Athena. What's the next match?
Where are we?
We are after Anna Jay and it's the Owen Hart thing.
Okay. Right?
Isn't it?
Yes. And told you so is what I have to say.
Yeah, you did.
And in all reality, like, let's be real. I thought for a moment that because Ruby Soho had we're going Adam Cole Samoa Joe first.
I thought this match, it was good, but it was a TV match.
Yep.
And I wanted more.
I think what I said to you while I was watching it, I think I texted you, I was like, I just don't care. Like, I just don't care. And then I was like, come on. And I also said, come on, Joe, you couldn't have at least like done some black and pink shorts instead of the same green and black shorts that you've been wearing for the past 17 years.
Wait. That's not the next match. House of Black.
Ah, yes.
The Death Triangle. And we both said Death Triangle. So we were wrong about that. There's House of Black. Those masks, that face paint, they look so scary and so cool.
Everything was.
So, I mean, if Bray Wyatt could get his shit together, he would be perfect to feud with them. But he needs to have matches like that. That was so good. That was such a good match.
Did I call it too? I was like, I can guarantee you that out of all the matches, I'm going to look at this match and say this was, and I'm going to say. But, it's second for me, because we'll talk about what I think is the first one later. But
the thing that I thought was great, finally they paid off the Julie Hart, and it was great. You know, the Varsity Blondes is such a shitty team to me. They're just like they're such losers.
I
told you, it's Lodi and Lenny.
So. When I usually watch pay-per-views or when I watch big matches or anything like that, like Steven doesn't watch with me. My husband doesn't watch with me. Sometimes I'll pull him in here. I'll be like, yeah, you got to watch this. So he was out here on the couch. I was in the bedroom watching. Yeah. And he's like, that must have been a good match. He was like, I was like, why? He's like, I just heard you gasp a lot of times. Yeah. I think the time that I gasped the most was the Dante's Inferno, where the suplex lifted up into the like fire thunder driver pile driver.
That was amazing.
I was like it's over, it's done.
The new gear makes them look so much major league, and that mask the new mask that like with the antlers on it, I love that. Even it was like
they so like cool. All six of them look like stars. I thought that Ray Phoenix was a little bit reserved, rightfully so, because he's still coming back.
I still want to see Ray Phoenix and Daniels. They haven't had that match. No. I don't think they have. No, that's a 5-star match right there.
I mean, so is Penta versus.
That's another one.
Penta is one of the most charismatic. Mexican wrestlers.
He was great in Lucha Underground. He was the guy that I noticed right away. It's like, that's different.
They're great. And Pac looked good. Just everything
was great. Nothing wrong with this match. It was only 15 minutes, but it was great.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right. So now we're Adam Cole and Samoa Joe. As we said, this is just an okay match. Adam Cole wins. He beats Samoa Joe, but they had interference. Yeah, they had the. They had Keith. Bobby Fish came in. And I was kind of like,
you don't need that.
I don't want to see that shit. Yeah. I would have liked it. Britt Baker, DMD versus Ruby Soho. I love that they got Rancid to come out for that. I mean, they had Jericho's guitarist, but Rancid was so cool. I felt Ruby should have won this because I just think it would have helped her. She needs something to cling to. She's got nothing.
Yeah.
She's just got the Rancid song. And this would have been a good feather, but I see why they did. When they came out with the pink, I was like,
yeah, and we both said it the second that they both came out wearing, you know, pink and white and black. We were like, oh, Adam Cole's winning. Oh, Britt Baker's winning.
I thought the Ruby, the Britt was a better match. I thought they did more.
100%.
That was a bad. Come on, learn how to do the sharpshooter.
Oh, God.
That is not the sharpshooter. That was so lame.
There were two of the.
I know.
It was a night of superplexes and a night of bad sharpshooters.
When you do the sharpshooter, you gotta do it and you gotta like sit down on it and that like lock. When you watch Brett do it, like watch him at like WrestleMania 12, the way he does it, or even WrestleMania 13, he just locks it on and it just looks so cool. And it looks like there's no escape.
Yeah.
It looks like the coolest. I like the way he would do that, like I'm just like, can people just not do this?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Rock is friends with Brett and he still didn't know how to do it right. He would do that swing over thing. And yeah. It's like, it looks like a transitional move.
I think that Britt is such a good heel, but she's not going to be able to be one.
She kind of teased. She shook her hand a little bit. So like they're testing the waters there. I think
she's a baby. Been geared. She's just good. She looks like a star. Like she looks like a star.
It's the same thing that's going to happen. That's happened to Jay White in New Japan as well as Ospreay. It's like,
yeah.
You better get these heel runs out of the way because it's like, it's not going to be, but I thought they worked well. They tried. I mean, it wasn't the best to match, but it was much better than the Anna Jay match.
Yeah.
They did the roll up because, I think that was a tribute to what WrestleMania.
It was, Owen Hart. It was, 10? It was,
10 and Brett.
Yeah. It was the Owen and Brett. And that's.
Did Owen beat Brett with a roll up at 10?
Owen beat
Brett, he did. Yeah,
with a victory roll.
Yeah, he did. Okay, yeah. So,
but I think I don't remember if he reversed. I don't remember. Yeah. If it was an actual tribute to like.
But it was nice to do. No Brett, but no the Brett. Way they did it, I'm kind of glad it would have taken from the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, but Tony said she could talk as long as she wanted to. He bought an extra hour just for that. That shows.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched.
Came out.
Yeah. If you watch that Dark Side of the Ring, I never looked at her the same way when she shows that last part and she shows the carabiner. And I just am like, there's no reason that should have. And then the fact that they continued the show, I don't care what. They say that is one, it's a crime scene.
Yeah.
And then they did a title change on that show. Yeah. It would have been, they should have done nothing. They should have stopped the show, but Vince McMahon is of that opinion that the show must go on.
I also called it, in our go home, they were just going to let them be.
And I like that. They did do that. Yep. They weren't heels. And I love that that Martha got a chance to talk.
Yeah,
she was happy. It's great to see her appreciating wrestling. After knowing what I know now from that Dark Side of the Ring, I'm like, I don't blame her. I would never want it. The fact that, you know, when Meltzer talks about how, you know, she was suing them, but she wanted, you know, criminal charges. And they said, the only thing you're going to be able to get is money. So she had to settle because it was like, it was never going to go to, that had been so hard. And then watching, they have that clip of Vince where he was just so glib and it just shows, to me, a lot of the real Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And
they're not being defended. You heard that, right?
I didn't. No, I didn't hear it. So
they're not being defended. They're
so. Are they gonna bring them out?
I don't know.
Or is this just gonna be? Is this just the, like a one-time thing?
So it sounds like that this is going to be a continual tournament.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do they hold the belt until
tournament? Yeah? Is he gonna come out with it and be like, I'm the Owen Hart? I mean, like that's what Owen would do.
Yeah.
In his character, he was the guy who made the Slammies mean something. Right. Nobody gave a shit about the Slammies right. Until he came out and be like, I hit it. I won. And then when he was with I did it for my loving brother, Brett.
and they've already started talking about the King and Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, I like that. That was great. But this was such a nice, I'm going to be honest with you. I cried watching this. Because it was a very, just to see her there and to see this nice moment. They didn't do an angle, and it was just great. And it was a great classy moment, and it didn't need to. And I'm glad they didn't do any angle or whatever. But I do think continuing on, I don't think it's out of character for them Adam Cole could do the Owen thing and be like, I am the Owen, you know, and come out with that belt. I mean, he doesn't have to defend it, but you know, I think they should get some mileage out of it. Otherwise, why have belts?
I can see them both bringing it out next week or this tomorrow. Tomorrow's today's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah. I can see them.
And both. I can't wait. That's gonna be such a good show.
Yeah, like.
I feel like they've got such momentum with this show.
Yes.
So I thought that was a beautiful. All right. So let's get to America Top Team versus Frankie Kazarian, Sammy Guevara, and Ty Conti. I thought Sammy was gonna, because of the stipulation, I thought Sammy was gonna win. But they went all the way and like he can't and they stick to their stipulations here.
It felt more of like a comedy match than anything.
It wasn't my favorite thing, but I thought, you know, she didn't look too bad, Paige, you know, for how long she's been there. I think she'll get better. It's not as good as like Ronda was, but Ronda was in the ring with Kurt Angle and Triple H.
Right.
And Stephanie was just there to sell for her. And they positioned her in such a way that just, I mean, now she means nothing, but man, is she fallen. But this is a nice little match. I liked, so was he supposed to be, she was supposed to be Maleficent, and who the hell was he supposed to be?
Who knows?
Was he supposed to be like the Black Bird in the Power Ranger movies, like when the bird that Ivan Ooze came out with, I saw him come out, I was like, what is that? Like, I get her, but like, what the hell is this? Like, is he supposed to be the Horned King from the Black Cauldron? I mean, like, I don't know.
Sammy Guevara to me is gone back and forth way too much over.
He's kind of become annoying. He's become very annoying. I mean, it's not his fault. The crowd turned him heel, and at least they went with it.
Yeah,
which I've been saying. You know, they didn't do this damn thing where you have to sit there and have him being booed out of the building and him cutting a babyface promo. At least they just went right into it. Yeah. But yeah, you had Kazarian, you know, just being like, screw you guys. It's good. What was the finish? I forgot the finish.
Sammy Guevara super kick, Tay Conti.
And that's okay. That's how they,
That's how they got to the finish.
Yeah. So this was not a bad match. The next match is Kyle O'Reilly versus Darby Allin. This was good match, but I didn't care about this match. This was kind of a bathroom break for me. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
I feel bad, but they worked really hard and it was a good match.
So
it's a really good match.
I feel like they they ran out of time. I thought that it was nonstop, and I thought that the work was absolutely amazing. When I said earlier that I thought that I called the trios match, the House of Black versus Death Triangle, as the best worked match. I think it's this match is like right there. They just went nonstop. Kyle O'Reilly is a beast.
Oh, he's great. We've always known he's great. When they did the thing, I thought they should have done the title. They should have put the NXT title on him. He should have been the one to defeat Cole.
And they never did it. I don't really remember him in the independents ever having a chance to be a singles wrestler.
Him and Adam Cole had the feud, and they wrestled in New Japan. I mean, they weren't. I feel like he's much better now.
Gotcha.
I think NXT, but he was always pretty good. He was more of a striker.
Yeah.
Then, whereas now he's kind of added the submission game to him.
I thought Darby.
Who did we pick to win that match? I don't even think we picked anybody.
I don't think we even said anything.
Yeah.
Because it got added so late.
I would have said Darby. I'm going to be honest. I didn't think they were going to be Darby.
I'm surprised that they put Kyle O'Reilly over. And
I feel like Darby's losing a little too much now. He needs to, like, the next matches, he needs to win.
Maybe they're going to do this whole needs this corner thing.
That's a good point.
But that suicide dive where Darby just freaking caught his legs on the rope and biffed it. I'm like, this kid just killed himself. And
he let Brian Cage powerbomb him in a damn body bag.
Yeah.
Like, there's no padding. He could be dead.
This guy is he's crazy. He's absolutely
but
crazy.
I thought this was great. This is a nice little 10-minute match. And it added.
It was nonstop. That's what I loved about it.
Yeah.
Go.
That's why 5 hours works on these shows, because they're all the matches are different.
Yep.
This is the problem I have at WWE. It's like, I don't want to see you go 5 hours. You all wrestle the same match.
Right.
Nothing's different.
Right.
It's the same style. Start off hot, rest hold, you know, do that. You know, here, you know, they will sometimes do that. Everybody has their own style.
Yeah.
And it makes for such an But like I said, this feels like UFC. It's all these different guys. And I bet that's what he's trying to do. I bet if we cornered Tony Khan, he would say, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I don't want a WrestleMania. I want every show to be WrestleMania. And
they said from the get-go that they were going to try to have a more reality-based product. Yeah. So they're getting there.
Yeah, that's great. Thunder Rosa, Serena Deeb. I like this match. I wanted more. I would say this is the best women's match in a long time. I still think they could do much more.
You know, I think it was, I can't remember which commentator said it, but it's exactly how I felt about the match, where they said the longer that it went, they're like, they're not getting sloppy, they're getting desperate. And I thought that that was a great cover, because they're getting sloppy.
That's what Jim Ross does well, you know.
I just thought that that was a great line. And that's what I think what happened. I think it maybe was a little too long.
Compared to all the other matches we've had in the last pay-per-views, it was Brit and Thunder, where that was just throwaway and nothing happened on that one. Then it was Brit and Ty Conti. Nothing happened on that. Then we had Brit and Chris Statlander, a little bit better. And then it was Brett and the girl that held the belt for a long time. And just as soon as we have fans back, you lose. What's her name? Hikaru Kawashita. Yeah. So it was nice to see that this was, it's not as good as I want to see them do it, but it's like, it was a step above the everything else the women did on the show.
I'm going to talk superficially. I think that the graphic that they put up for Serena Deeb made her look awful. like made her look like old and decrepit.
And I didn't like the Thunder Rosa outfit either. She looked like a light bright.
And then that was the other thing I was going to say, like, good for you for like throwing something different out there, but like, come on.
Oof. It was too much.
Yeah.
It was too much. I thought though they worked well. This was, it's a good, they got time.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we get to like this part of the show, this is where like a Bailey or a Sasha would really help these shows out, because they need a woman worker of that level.
Yeah.
And say what you will about Sasha, but she is one of the best workers out there, and she's an asset to them. Now we're coming up. To probably my favorite match on this show, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't think I would like this match. Is that the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club, Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. Jericho and them come out in their white outfits, like they're sailors or whatever. I love that they have the little, I mean, they've been doing this, but the little intro, and then they come to the Judas music or whatever, but people are still going to sing it. It's not going to get it. But and I love, what's his name? He said, well, the shit's about to hit the fan.
Oh, yeah, Justin Roberts. I loved you. I loved that intro. I was like, okay.
You can tell how much he, I don't know if you like read some of his book or whatever, but he talked about like how he wanted the job in WWE where he was going to sit in the crowd and watch the show and evaluate how the crowd is reacting. And they wouldn't give him that job. He wanted to like kind of like be like a filter for them to see what like is really happening.
Cool.
And they just said, no, we're not going to do that. I'm like, yeah, fuck them. I'm glad he's here.
Yeah.
He's appreciated. He brings a lot to him. I know some people don't like his style of announcing, but I think he does a good job. And I thought that was great when he says, well, the shit hits the fan here. Then we get the music of John Moxley. It comes out, and the way they did it, it just felt so major league and tribute to New Jack. They just played the music throughout the thing, and that just, it added another level to that match that I didn't, and watching, because they had a lot of wide shots there, you could see how big the T-Mobile Arena really is and how major league they've become. In some ways, when I was watching that, man, I was like, look at how far they've come.
Yeah.
They went from these, like, they were still in pretty good arenas, but now they're in, I mean, WWE moved to the MGM Grand. I mean, that's where the first Double or Nothing is. Now they're in the T-Mobile Arena, selling it out. You can see all that giant sea of just, and that match was just, everybody got something in. I love Danielson as he's fighting. He was just like,
I just wasn't expecting it. It was just so good.
I wasn't either. I thought that was going to be like one of my, I was like, it'll be okay. But we said it. If anybody can make this work, it was Danielson. And when we get to the end, we'll talk about, they just brawled. Finally, they get to the part where, I mean, it was fake. It's not real, but it was great. He hits the thing and he says, I found the switch to turn off the music or whatever. And I love how the announcers go with it. And there's a part where Tony Schiavone laughed and he says, I shouldn't laugh or whatever. And he's like, but you know, that was amazing. Whereas like in WWE, whenever they do the hardcore matches, they would call them toys and they would actually laugh. So it was just, it was pandemonium.
Yeah,
this match, and the only person I think that didn't bleed was Jericho. Like I think he was the only one that didn't like bleed.
One of his other guys didn't bleed either.
And one of the other guys didn't bleed. So I think they were leaving that open to the thing.
It was so good.
I was expecting Regal, but I think they probably knew we don't want to give them the unfair advantage because, you know, Moxley, you know, because Danielson's smart. He's not going to do something stupid. This was just, it was great. People in the front row said, though, the gas can, you could smell that it was water. Okay. But you know what? I'm glad they did, because you know what? That's a dangerous thing. And what they were doing was already dangerous enough. Like, they beat the shit out of each other.
I loved the moment when Eddie Kingston comes out with the gas can. It just looked like something straight out of a horror movie. Like,
yeah, he did. He was like,
his eyes covered in blood, holding a gas can. It was just.
Like, I thought at some point Danielson was gonna take the tie of what's his name and do it but they kind of did because he what's his name was it yeah Daniel Garcia choked him with the belt, and I was like, while I was watching this, I was just going like, this is different.
Yeah,
this is something you will never see in the current WWE. They will never do something like this. They would never think to play the music throughout the whole thing. You could tell Tony Khan watched ECW, and it was fun. It was so much better. It reminded me of the first Stadium Stampede, where like that was new. The second one I hated, but this one I was like, I don't want to see them go back to this for a while, but this was great.
I was surprised that there was no fireball.
They left a lot, like you said, on the table for a return.
We both said that we thought that Blackpool Combat Club was going to win.
Yeah.
We get a good storyline going in with Brian Danielson and Eddie Kingston. And I think I also said during this match, I texted you, I said, so are they written off TV for a couple of weeks so everybody can
they need them for I think they'll probably be like bandaged up and stuff, but I feel like this feud has to end with like all of the Jericho Appreciation Society being like laid out and Jericho just being stuck with like all five of them.
Yeah.
And they just beat the living they give him the beating of a lifetime. Like finishers, new moves that we haven't seen. Right. Like that's how that's gotta end. Like with but we're not finished with this match. So yeah. So they finally get back into the ring. I love Danielson didn't use any weapons. He just used his fist. Yeah. Matt Maynard, I kind of see him as something now. There's like he showed me something. All of these guys, I felt like everybody got something out of it.
Yeah.
And I love that. And you know, I feel like
I didn't bleed.
Yeah.
Garcia was the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't bleed. I feel like though this Jericho Appreciation Society is getting these guys over.
Yeah.
Like I'm starting to see them as something like the same thing he did with Sammy and them. It's like,
well,
did
you see the interview that,
yeah. And we're going to talk about those interviews. We'll get to those interviews. But anyway, so the gas can comes in and he's about to just light him up. And Danielson's like, no, we're not going to do like, he's like, I'm not going to do that. And they start fighting. And then what's his name gets caught up in the barbed wire. I love how they disabled the ring and used it. Like this was real crazy.
Yep.
Just as I said, pandemonium. And when Danielson is fighting them both off, like nobody is better at selling that comeback.
Yeah.
Like Danielson. And he's just laying them out. And then when he laid them out and he looks at the crowd and he goes, I'm going to kick his fucking head in. Yeah. All right, that was great. And then he was about to finish, kick his head in, and then that was the finish. Yeah. But the way they beat him was like, he looked like he was gonna die if they didn't stop the match. And I was like, so I thought this was one of the best AEW matches they've ever done in some really ways.
Okay.
But one of the best matches. I wouldn't say in the top five, but it's somewhere maybe in the top 10. I thought this was just the way it was laid out. Everybody got something and it continued. And as I said, I think the feud has to continue. I think it's kind of blood and guts is probably the next thing.
I wonder how it came across, like, as an audience member. Like, were you watching a screen? Where were you?
Well, Meltzer was in, and he said they thought that it was going to be very, you know, concentrated. And it was like you couldn't follow anything, but it was just so much fun. Like, that song just woke everybody up.
Yeah.
And, like, it was the perfect song to play continue. Like, you couldn't do Danielson's song. It would sound stupid. But you can't do Judas. It could have worked, but only with them as faces. It wouldn't have worked as them as you. I thought this was great. I guess it's leading to blood and guts. And I imagine they're going to all be in the cage and they're just going to beat the living shit out of Jericho. And, like, because now they have, like, now that, you know, like, Danielson's like almost killed, like, they have a reason to, like, just, like, attack them.
Yeah.
You know, like it can be fun and talk. I love this match. So let's go on to the next match. I didn't expect to like this match, but this grew on me. And Jurassic Park, Jurassic Express. Keith Lee and Steve and Swerve Strickland. Steve Strickland. What am I doing? King of the Hill? Steve's third Strickland, you know, I sell propane and propane accessories. Powerhouse Hobbs, Ricky Starks. This was another great match. That was different.
Keith Lee had me laughing. Right before, God, what did he do? Right before Strickland used him as a springboard, he was like, he sang. He did something to the audience where he's like, oh, hell no, or something like that. And I was just like
Rock when he took the ring bell and he hit Mankind, he picks him and goes, bells will be ringing.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good match.
They teased the heel turn of Christian, which I gotta imagine is coming. Mm-hmm. I think FTR, it's gotta be either FTR. I think now Danielson and Moxie are too involved with the Jericho Appreciation Society to do it. So I would do probably FTR, and that's probably where you do where you have Christian,
because
it looks like he's turning. And that's probably where they'll transition what's his name into more of a single.
Work was great.
This was great. Toward the end, I was like this was great.
Jungle Boy is insane.
He continues to get better. This was great. I thought this was so the Jurassic Park. Jesus Christ, I can't speak. Jurassic Express wins.
That's what we called.
Yeah,
we both said that they were gonna take it.
Yeah, I thought so. So now we're on to the World Championship, and this had a big fight feel to it. Mm-hmm. And Jim Ross is so good at this. I picked Adam Page, but you know, I could have seen it going either way. We kind of basically just said whatever.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good way to go. One, the way this match was worked, Adam Page pretty much could have beaten Punk, but his arrogance is what cost him. So you have that return match down the line. And I thought this was great. This was a nice psychological match. It wasn't, it was very much a lot of storytelling, but it made sense and I liked it. And I thought this was great.
It was a good match, good storytelling. I completely agree. For me, where it was hard for me. As I said before, this is late. Yeah. Like, this is late.
Yeah.
And then coming from Anarchy in the Arena and then the triple threat match, like, and then
I like that they don't do the stupid thing WWE does where it's like, let's have a match that no one gives a shit about.
No one cares.
Which they continue to do to this day. And it's just like, it's so fucking stupid.
CM Punk should never attempt to do a Buckshot Lariat ever again.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, well, he messed it up. Yeah.
But yeah, the work was good. And we had a great celebration. And
I love the very beginning where he's just looking at him. They just went nose to nose type of thing there. I like that, you know, Hangman, you know, kind of teased turning heel. And he was like, but, you know, I knew that was kind of going to cost him, you know, kind of telegraphed the finish to me. But I mean, from where they're going, I think this, you know, the way they set it up, he could have beat him. Mm-hmm. It was his own, you know, arrogance of, you know, of doing it. And they pretty much sold that through the commentary. And so Punk is champion. It seemed to mean a lot to him because I think, you know, he's happy. Punk is happy in AEW, and I don't think he was ever happy in WWE. Even when he was on Top of the World, he always felt, because he was always, they always saw him as second best. And here he is happy. He's getting to do the matches he wants to do. I think at All Out, it's either going to be Punk and Omega or Punk and Danielson, because he mentioned Danielson. And it sounds like he wants to do, I think Blood and Guts is going to happen because they did that on AEW Dynamite, and it's probably going to be on Dynamite where they do. I think it'll be a little bit. I think it'll be after Forbidden Door.
Yeah, they got. I mean, they got to start building. They really got to start building.
Well, as I said, I think tomorrow or tonight we're getting the Bullet Club Invasion. I think it's the right time. You know, have him do that if he wants to lay out Punk. If it's Jay White, I mean, they could just have Okada come out there with the belt or whatever, but I don't know if they want to do champion versus champion type of thing there. I think they kind of want to have like an AEW guy face their champion and a New Japan face their champion type
of thing. I don't think that there should be any cross promotional title matches.
I mean, I think the Bullet Club is invading. I think, and if they did invade on Double or Nothing, it wouldn't have meant after Anarchy in the Arena. I mean, what can you do that's gonna feel? I mean, they got to do something big.
They
could have Kenta show up too and lay him out with the JTS.
They have to start because they've got a month, and they're also introducing. I mean, I think AEW fans are going to know a lot of the people that are going to be coming through, but you're also they may not, and you might be introducing a brand new crop of people. You have a month to introduce a brand new crop of people to maybe some people that don't know who these guys are, but.
For me, I thought this pay-per-view as a whole was just like, I got my money's worth. Mm-hmm. This is well worth $50. And if WWE ever tries to put their shit back on pay-per-view, there is no way in hell I'm paying them for that. Mm-hmm. They have never, unless they're putting on shows, which they can't because they don't know how to do that.
I'm happy Peacock comes with other streaming services because
Peacock sucks as a streaming service anyways. I'm waiting for them to get a streaming service. I'd like to see them have that and then put Ring of Honor stuff on there so we can watch the Ring of Honor. So I'd love to go back and watch the original Summer of Punk in ROH. I thought that was great with like the full stuff, like I loved it when Mick Foley held him over the balcony. Goes, well, do you feel lucky? Huh? Do you, Punk? You know, there was so much good stuff there. And they set it up in such a way that, like, you thought, like, every show he was going to lose, and he just kept winning and winning until he lost to James Gibson, who ends up losing, like, 2 weeks later to Danielson. I thought this was a great pay-per-view. Yeah. I just thought this, they continue to do great stuff. Yeah, all right, so let's get to the interview thing. Punk came out. He seems super happy. As I said, he loves to put the dig into to the WWE, and he won't even say it by name. Jericho, I thought Jericho was great. What he talked about, you know, being creative, and how he does. But you were going to say something. What were you going to say about it?
So what I was going to say about Jericho was, I mean, you were talking about how he's the people that are in the Jericho Appreciation Society. He's elevating all of them. Got this.
He feels so much bigger than he did a year ago.
Well,
what he's doing right now.
He said that I am here not to have matches that I had before. You're not going to see Jericho versus Christian. You're not going to see Jericho versus this. You're not going to see, like, you are going to see, we are here to create a new.
And he never really had a feud with Danielson. So in some ways that kind of is different.
But I mean, there's, I really like that. And what did he say when he was like, the second that I found out that he got released, I have to pull it up.
Pull it up. Also, cats off to Tony Khan getting all those people in there. It's like, the more and more I was looking at, I was listening to all the podcasts, and I'm like, okay, we need to be at one of those damn things.
He's not interested. He's not interested in nostalgia hour feuds.
Good.
It was Matt.
I don't want to see you.
The key to older stars staying at a certain level is working with younger guys, because it elevates them and it elevates us too. That's why he's been so keen to wrestle the likes of Hangman Page, MJF, and others through AEW. Jericho also revealed that he called Matt Hardy when he heard that he might be leaving WWE. During that call, Chris told his friend that he should come to AEW and help him build our younger stars.
Yeah. I would like to see Matt go back to Broken, because now that we have people in the, he's doing the delete stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that gave him such a, I don't know if you can bring Vanguard 1 into the arena, but he had like the Gardener and all those things. That was just, it added this dimension to him. Let, you know, Jeff be Brother Nero at times, you know. Yeah. I'd like to see him go a little bit back to that. I think they need something. I mean, the nostalgia act is only going to work so long. Oh, we got to talk about this on Rampage. They brought Gangrel.
Oh, yeah.
Back. I did like seeing Gangrel. I mean, they couldn't get his music, you know, the cool music, which was. Did you know in the music it says I killed Paul in the original? I didn't know that. Somebody found that on the internet, that was originally in there, because a lot of people believe that the Paul McCartney that we have today is not the real Paul McCartney. Okay. That, like, they were switched because he never, you know, really did anything like the Beatles. Anyways, this pay-per-view is great. I love the media scrum stuff, because it adds a, I don't know, it just adds something to it. It feels big league. It feels like New Japan and what UFC does. Like, could you see Vince McMahon standing out there? He's like, I'm not taking any questions. I mean, he didn't want to. I mean, Dave Meltzer said that when he said that he wasn't taking any questions about MJF, he said, like, if he was gone, if it wasn't a work, he would have just said he's gone, you know? So it's, I think with the MJF thing, they have a chance to, like, really work people and really make people think, like, he needs to do the Pillman stuff, even though they have the second Pillman, but he can't do this. I want to see Wardlow with new music. I think that needs to happen. CM Punk probably gets attacked by the Bullet Club. I think that's going to happen. I just think I think they got real momentum.
Yeah, I really think so. And I think, I mean, they got
this feels, yeah.
they've got something really cool to build to, something that's never been done before that they're building to for next
week. And it's not going to be screwed up like they did with, because I went to the, you know, the one that they did in Madison Square Garden, New Japan and ROH, and the ROH shit just like fucking killed the show.
Yeah.
It was so just hokey. And we're not going to have that with this. This feels like how they felt after All Out, after Punk first came in,
right,
and you had Danielson, like they had all this momentum, Grant, and then they kind of like lost it. And I feel like they found it again. And it's like, ride this in.
So remember like back in the day when you had a really good WrestleMania and then you were so excited for the Raw after WrestleMania because you were just really excited to see what was going on.
That feels like decades ago.
But that's what Dynamite is feeling like now. It's like feeling like the Raw
after Mania. This is where that came from. And then they fucked that up too.
Yep.
We gave them gold and they fucked it up. I mean, we were supposed to get Rock. It was supposed to be Rock coming out, and they were going to start the feud to Brock and Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But Rock got hurt. That would have been so cool to see those two in the ring. And then we didn't get it. And then it was such a, you know, you could tell they were just going through a paint by numbers show that we just all decided, let's just entertain ourselves. Let's chant for anybody. Like there's a bald guy out there. There was one point we were chanting for everything. It was like, it's Austin. Like just did, like just anything. And it was like a whole crowd just basically going, were you at that show?
No.
Yeah, you weren't. That was probably the most fun I've ever had at a wrestling. Because you had the British crowd and you had the people from WrestleMania that was like, and we were like all pissed because we were supposed to get Brock and Rock. And we just got this shit. This is the one where Cena trolled us, which is like, how about a heel turn?
Right. Yes.
And I was like, you motherfucker. I mean, we had the Dolph Ziggler change, but they fucked that up too. I feel like AEW has some real momentum. I can't wait for this show. Let's talk about Raw. Nothing happened. It all felt lame and stupid. Cody and Seth, they had a brawl, but it was a WWE brawl.
Yeah, and
we got Amos. I keep calling him almost. That's gonna be such a fucking who gives a shit. That pay per view is so. If they don't have Bray Wyatt, I don't know what the hell that show.
I looked at the card today and. I was just like, wow.
That's going to be background noise as I watch it. Like, I have it on, but that's about it. Although my TV broken here.
I mean,
I have to get a new TV.
I might watch just a...
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have it on, but I'm not going to be like watching intently. Like EW shows, I'm watching a lot of the matches not doing anything else but watching the matches.
Raw, come on.
This is garbage. Sasha may be able to get out of it because it looks like since they're not paying her, I don't know if they can freeze her contract. So let's hope that. Also, is Paige's contract supposed to be coming up in June? Is she leaving? Is she going to resign? If they're not going to let her wrestle, and since she says she's back, she would be a good person to have in AEW. Yeah. I always enjoyed her matches.
Yeah.
I would like to see her get the hell away from WWE.
Yeah.
Like, what else happened? Bray Wyatt may be coming back to WWE, or he said he's ready to come back to wrestling, or he alluded to it. I don't know. Let's see where he ends up.
For me, it's too late. And we talked about this before.
I know we've talked about it already, but
it's too late. I think
Tammy Lynn Sitch pleaded not guilty to DUI manslaughter. MJF is in LAX, so apparently he will be there.
Jake Atlas got arrested.
I think he's gone.
Yep, he's gone. Which is sad because he would for me it's cool seeing an openly LGBT wrestler. And I loved how all of the articles didn't mention if it was a male or female partner. That
you don't you don't like Sunny Kiss.
Yeah. No.
I've never enjoyed that. I've your whole gimmick is just that, and that's all you are. You're not very good. I know Tony Khan can't say anything because they'll yell at him like they did Big Swole. CM Punk says he wants to win the trios titles with FTR. Those seem to be his boys.
Ooh.
Which is great. That would be good. Adam Cole is injured, and Jeff Hardy looks to be injured too.
I don't think they're injured.
Let's see. What does it say here?
I think Jeff might be injured. I think Jeff might be broken, honestly.
Do they do broken Jeff now? But he really is broken. Like, he can't move.
Like, literally broken. I don't think Adam Cole is injured.
It says here that he is. It says that he's hurt. So both guys are hurt, but it doesn't sound like it's like hurt like. Like, I'm gonna miss time off.
Yeah,
it just sounds like he's banged up. Okay. Other than that, what else? I mean, I thought this was just a great pay-per-view. I think we talked for 2 hours about how good it was, It was so good.
It's been 2 hours. Yeah.
Well, let's see, 10:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so with that,
you mentioned, this is the first time that we've had a gun show on our.
I know. Podcast. There we go.
Look at our.
There you go. We got the gun show on here. So, with that, the truth
will
shall set
you free.
Free. There you go.
We'll get it.